If Brother Chris looks a little sleepy-eyed this morning, he didn't get home till after 2. He had the unfortunate opportunity of being in Cameron Indoor Stadium last night to see the Tar Heels spoil the party. Amen. I just have to get that in. How about them heels? So that's all I'll say about that. I am an avid Carolina fan, have been since about 1957 as an 8-year-old boy. I vaguely, not clearly, but vaguely remember watching them beat Kansas and Wilt Chamberlain for the national championships. I've been a Tar Heel fan all that time. So it just wasn't quite a storybook ending for Coach K, but he did handle it with class. I'll give him that. But the Tar Heels showed up and got the job done. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1. Remember Pastor Steve over at Hillside. He's preaching this morning, but he's literally wired up. I hope he's spiritually wired up, but he's literally physically wired up. He went, I think, Friday to Baptist. They've got him hooked up with about 8 things on his head, wires, and hopefully they want him to have one of his episodes where they can maybe get some clarity on what's going on. So he warned them Wednesday night about how his appearance would be this morning. Probably going to wear a ski cap or something to cover all those wires. But I'll be preaching for him tonight at 6. If you're free and want to come, be preaching tonight on Jesus' second coming in the rapture, to be watching and waiting. So you'll hear great music, and I just would love to see if you're able to come and get through watching the Lone Ranger reruns on FET TV or whatever that channel is. I watch Lone Ranger during the week, comes on in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. I remember him, Hi-Ho Silver. Remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Still come on in black and white. James chapter 1. But here's a couple little things for old-timers, like you and I. Most of us in here are old-timers. As we get older, we have to stay positive. Stay positive for our life situations. Heard about a fellow who was striving to do that, and one time he said, I fell down the stairs at my house. I fell down the stairs. Instead of getting upset, I just thought positively, wow, that's the fastest I've moved in several years, amen, falling down the stairs. And then this one applies really to me. I've learned this, came across this, I've learned 2 very important lessons in life. I don't remember the first one, but the second one is to write down everything so I will not forget. So that's what I'm striving to do. Here in James chapter 1, come down to verse 19 inside your bulletin. Just a little outline that you can add some thoughts to. And I hope you'll take these and maybe do some extra further study on these verses and these thoughts. For an introduction, notice verse 19. I want to start with verse 19 and then just give you a quick little introductory outline for this particular verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, notice what he says. Let every man, all inclusive, man or woman, let every believer, because he's writing to beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger. So here we find an imperative truth. He says, you know, a family truth, beloved brethren, and a personal truth, let every one. Today the subject, notice, is the great divorce. Kind of unusual sermon title. And I agree with you on that. the great divorce, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, part 1. We'll do part 2 next Sunday, Lord willing. But it's not the divorce between a husband and wife. And that's a widespread problem today in America. About one out of two marriages will not make it even to 3 years. And they say the number is rising. But I'm speaking today on the divorce. Listen carefully. This has a lot of timely relevance to it. Particularly in what we're facing, our decision, our destiny, focusing on the future while we're in ministry now, where we're going to go, what direction we're going to take. Talking about the great divorce between hearing and doing the Word of God. Richard alluded to that in a Sunday school lesson about this Bible, this inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that gives us all the direction and guidance we need to live out the Christian life. But do we divorce ourselves sometimes from hearing and doing what the Bible says? So that's what James addresses this morning that I want us to focus on. Notice there, little outline sheet, specific instructions. Specific instructions on how to prepare ourselves for receiving the truth of the Word of God. I want to give you 4 ways today to prepare ourselves that we find here in this text. How do we prepare ourselves? What do we do? What must we do to not only hear the Word of God, but then to do what the Word of God says to do? 4 ways to prepare. Number 1, notice, we're to have an open ear. Again, look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift, quick to hear. We're to have an open ear. You know, the art of listening is one that we all need either to acquire or, if we have it somewhat, to at least improve on, to be able to listen, be swift to hear. I believe this is especially true in our spiritual application. Are you listening today, not so much to this preacher, but are you listening today to God's Word and what God's Word is saying to us? Are you listening? Are you swift to hear? Now, my wife, and I can say this because she's not here this morning, but she's probably watching on Facebook, so she may club me when I get home. My wife says, accuses me, can you believe this, accuses me of having selective hearing. Any of you men ever been accused of having selective hearing? Or maybe you men think your wife has selective hearing. I don't know. You know what selective hearing is? That's hearing what we want to hear. And tuning out something or things that we necessarily don't want to hear. So I'm often accused by her of having selective hearing. I'm afraid we as believers sometimes, if not often, have spiritual selective hearing. Sometimes we tend to respond this way when it comes to the Word of God. We hear what we want to hear. We hear, but do we really hear? Now, I'm talking about not our physical hearing. I'm talking about our spiritual hearing. One reason why we divorce ourselves, listen this morning, why we divorce ourselves from God and His Word, our ears are shut. We just don't hear. We hear, but we really don't hear. Do you realize today it's possible to have good hearing, but be hard of listening? Listening to God. Because listen this morning, when you read your Bible, that's God speaking to you and I. And that's mighty important. So number one, we must have an open ear to prepare ourselves to hear and receive the truth. But notice second there on your little outline sheet, not only must we have an open ear, but we must have a controlled tongue. For look at verse 19, not only be swift to hear, but slow to speak. We learn while listening, not by talking. We learn from God by listening, not by talking. One of the reasons we divorce ourselves from God and His Word is our ears are shut and our mouths are too often open. We would do well, one preacher said, to think twice or more before we speak. And I hope you've noticed your anatomy. We have two ears and one mouth. But many times people act like they have two mouths and only one ear. It's possible to have good hearing, but be hard of listening because we're too busy talking. And that includes, listen, that includes talking back to God. He's trying to speak to us and He wants us to listen. He wants us to hear, but we're too busy talking back to Him and we miss what He has to say. Let me put it in a more blunt way. If we want to take in the truth of God, we must silence our tongues. Let me put it even more blunt than that. We must spiritually learn to shut up and listen so that we can really hear the spiritual truth. So open our ears, control our tongue, and then notice a third one. Don't miss this one. We must have a calm spirit. For in verse 19, the third, notice, swift to hear, slow to speak. Then look what he says. Then also be slow to wrath. The word wrath means anger, which can stem from things like resentment and bitterness in a believer's life. You better believe it. Because that's who James is writing to. Look again at verse 19's beginning. Beloved brethren, he's not writing to heathens. He's not writing to ungodly. He's writing to saved believers. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, swift to avoid anger. All too often, listen to this, all too often unguarded speech or an uncontrolled tongue gives expression to inner turmoil. In other words, what we often speak comes from what's within us. This word wrath can be rendered anger or temper. Losing one's temper can never achieve anything, especially in our spiritual lives. Now, I know there's things called righteous indignation, and Jesus had that. Remember when he went through the temple and cleaned out the temple and ran out the money changers and all that? That was righteous indignation, but we're talking about here just plain out anger. Losing one's temper can never really indicate the righteousness of God in our lives. Unfortunately, many, listen this morning, come into the doors, through the doors of the church, and sit on the pews filled with inner turmoil, anger, bitterness, resentment, all these kind of things. And it's like oil and water. They'll never mix. You'll never be able to worship God. That's why James says, be slow to wrath. We can divorce ourselves from God and His Word if we have the audacity to come into God's house, in God's presence, and try to read and hear His Word if we're filled with anger, filled with wrath. And then there's a fourth one. Come down to notice verse 20, spinning off of slow to wrath. Look at verse 20. For the wrath of man, the anger of man, that wrath that we're to be slow to have, that James says. And we're all sometimes going to get angry at things, but we shouldn't let it fester. We certainly shouldn't allow it to overwhelm us. And we for sure shouldn't bring it into the house of God with us. Look what he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You really can't exhibit the righteousness of God with a spirit of anger. So that's what he says in verse 20. But our fourth thing I want you to see is in verse 21. Not only must we have an open ear, not only must we have a controlled tongue, not only must we have a calm spirit, but look at number 4 in verse 21. We must have a clean heart. If we're going to hear from God and respond, receive His Word and respond accordingly and appropriately, we must have, number 4, a clean heart. Look at verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart or aside all filthiness. The word filthiness there suggests dirt, filth, impurity, uncleanness. We're talking spiritually now, not necessarily physical. Although I would recommend coming to church rather clean. Can't get a witness. I try to take a shower every Sunday morning. I don't want to stink up the place. Can I get a witness? And neither should you. And we splash on. Listen, we splash on our cologne and our good perfume. Heard one preacher say some women put on enough paint to paint a battleship and enough powder to blow it up. Can't get a witness right there. I don't know where that came from. It just popped in my mind. Something I remember. That happens when you're old. Things pop in your mind. But he's talking about spiritual cleanness. Spiritual purity. Look at this verse. Lay apart or aside all filthiness and superfluity. Now, that's a word for it. If you've got a good study Bible, I've got a little number 1 in front of that. Superfluity means an exceeding measure, something above and beyond the ordinary, an abundance of something. Superfluity of naughtiness. And the word naughtiness means wickedness or depravity. James says, put all that aside. Lay it apart, lay it aside. All, not some, but all filthiness and superfluity or abundance of naughtiness or wickedness. And then look what he says. And I don't want to steal too much thunder from next Sunday's part two. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And look at that word engrafted. It means something sown, something rooted, something implanted. James saw the Word of God as a living plant, you might say, engrafted, taking hold of the believer's life, changing his behavior, saving his soul. And then you get to the classic, one of the signature verses, and there's several, by the way, that I trust we'll be able to see in this study. But James 1:22 is one of his signature verses. You've heard it probably for all your Christian life. Preach from pulpit, taught from Sunday school or wherever, or reading it in your quiet time. Everybody in this room has heard James 1:22. But have we really applied it to our lives? What is he saying here in this 22nd verse? After having told us four things to prepare us to receive the engrafted word of truth that is able to save our souls. Circle verse 22 of James 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. What happens if we are guilty of that? We deceive your own selves. Self-deception. Deceive our own selves. If we hear the Word of God, if we hear what God tells us to do, if we hear what God is guiding us to do, if we hear what God is directing us to do, if we hear God speaking to us, we only hear, but we don't do. Did you hear that? We deceive ourselves. And self-deception is one of the worst things you can do to yourself. Because all you're doing is fooling yourself. Fooling yourself. Fooling myself. If I hear what God says, but I really don't hear. Or if I really hear, but I don't do. What is the right response? I hear the Word of God, and then I what? I do it. That's what that verse means. That's what it says in spiritual application. There has to be, there must be, willing cooperation on our part. Namely, obedience to the Word. If that Word of God is going to transform us or change us, we must do what we hear the Word of God says. We must hear and obey. One without the other is simply not enough. One without the other is deceiving ourselves. This is why this book is so important. if we're going to know Park Place, what direction to go, what direction to take, if we're going to respond to God's guidance, right here we have His Word to guide us. You want to know God's will for your life? You'll find it in this book. You want to know God's direction for your life, His guidance for your life? You'll find it right here in His Word. Just search it. Spend quality time in it. Don't wait for the Sunday school teacher or the preacher to stand in front of you and then you open your Bible and take a look and a listen. Do it each and every day in your quiet time. And you'll be amazed what God will show you. You'll be amazed what God will say to you. I won't give a commercial, but it's E.F. Button. When E.F. Button speaks, what happens? Everybody gets quiet and they listen. Well, there's somebody more important than E.F. Button, and it's God. Speaking to us continually. And every time, I believe we open His Word and diligently seek it. Do you hear? And then do you do? Look at that verse. But be ye doers of the Word. The engrafted Word of God. This book is alive. This book is a life changer. This book is what led you to Christ and Him being your Savior. Faith cometh by hearing. In Romans 10:13, what does it say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, or verse 17, I believe, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the preacher? No, by the word of some great evangelist? No, by the word of God. That's why I love this book. And have tried to preach it for over 40 years. And for my own self personally, try to not only hear what it says, but do what it says. Next week we'll see the illustration that James gives concerning the mirror. Probably everybody in the room today looked in the mirror. Hope it didn't frighten you what you saw. Amen. Can't get a witness. Sometimes it frightens me what I see in the mirror. But this Word of God is a mirror. It'll show you who you really, really are. Would you bow in prayer? Again, not a overly evangelistic message, but one that I think renders an invitation.